So as we look at the idea of futility, then by opposite, the opposite idea of that comes, we might think, and go back to Ephesians 2 and verse 10, where it says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He before ordained, that we should walk in them. So as God's people, we walk in the purposes and the plan of God. When it says that you were chosen before the foundation of the world and predestined, that means that, again, and we go over these concepts that we've seen in the book of Ephesians, but the idea is that God has pre-planned our walk. He's pre-planned our purpose in life. He's directed our steps. There's nothing that has been unexposed that God did not think about and plan for and make provision for in your life. Did you think about that? God's sovereignty, He knows about the economic crisis that we're in. He's not surprised that the market on Wall Street went down. I mean, He knew those things were going to happen. He knows about the mortgages. He has made provision for such things. He is our God and Creator. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to walk in the things, in the path, in the journey, at the time that God ordained, with the plan that God has. And so He desires that we walk with purpose. And the idea here in these verses, 17, 18, and 19, is that the Gentiles walk with a hardened heart. If we consider the hardened heart is the picture of walking as Gentiles walks means with mental futility. So what does that mean? Well, that means that we're walking without purpose. We don't know who we are. But in Christ Jesus, we as God's people know who we are, right? We know what we're doing. God has placed us here. He's ordained our steps. He has ordained the good works for you to walk in them. He's not surprised with the challenges. Not surprised with the obstacles that you face. Not surprised with anything. It's not random chance, the things that happen to you. Not God's people. It's planned. And He has supplied resources that are necessary for you to get through and to manage the challenges that He will place in your life. There's not mental futility. It's not random in your life. Okay? So let's look then. So we're to walk not in the futility of the Gentiles. Now there's a couple of like participles. As each one of these phrases in your Bible there, there's these modifying phrases. And so the walk is not in the futility of the mind. And then it says being darkened in their understanding and excluded from the life of God. Those are two participles that are explaining the walk of the Gentiles. And the walk of the Gentiles means the idea there of these two participles. It says being that you are darkened in your understanding, or the idea of your thoughts are darkened, is this perpetual walking with dark thoughts. Now, what does the idea of dark portray? Our thoughts or our understanding is darkened. That means we can't understand. We don't understand what's going on in life. We don't understand where we are. We don't understand who we are. We don't understand that God has, that we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which He before ordained. We understand that life seems to be purposeless, that this obstacle just seems to be here, and I don't know why it's here, but it's messing with me, and I can't understand it. I don't know why it's there. It seems to be random, and I can't seem to get past it, and it seems all sometimes purposeless or meaningless, but the Scripture tells us it's not meaningless. The obstacles are for God's glory as well. So mental futility is... the idea of walking in mental futility is supported with the idea that we have darkened thoughts, that we can't see and have understanding. But also it says that we have this divine alienation. We're excluded from the life of God. Now that means the idea of God's presence and God's blessing and life, the picture there is dwelling with God or walking with Him and seeing life from God's perspective and communicating with Him and walking in divine light rather than having the truth of the reality from God's perspective. There's a divine alienation, an alienation from the life of God perpetually. So we're walking along in the futility of our minds. Our thoughts are darkened. Our understanding is darkened. And we're alienated from the life of God. And then it says, because of the ignorance. And that's interesting to me. Because all of these, we've talked about this having to do with the hardness of the heart. But all that we've looked at so far has to do with the mind, doesn't it? Okay? We got futility of mind. We got understanding darkened. We got alienated from the life of God, which maybe is a little off of the subject there. But it is because of ignorance. Well, that has to do with the mind as well, isn't it? Ignorance means is that we don't know something, that we're not privy to something. And that is that ignorance that is in them causes the darkened thoughts. Okay? That ignorance causes them. Because it means that it's telling us why that their thoughts are darkened and that they've been estranged from the life of God, and it's because of the ignorance that is in them. But notice what it says, that final phrase there in verse 18 says, due to, and that's a good interpretation of it, due to the hardness of their hearts. Now, if we follow what that means, we need to reverse this thing. Because what it begins with is a hardness of the heart, right? The hardness of the heart is due to the hardness of the heart that they have the ignorance. And it's because of the ignorance that they have the darkened thoughts, that they have the alienation from the life of God, that they have the futility of mind, right? And so if we reversed what we just went through in verses 17 and 18, we would begin with the hardened heart. Okay, this would be exactly what we were talking about with Dr. Blue at Missions Conference 2 weeks ago. Okay, because in Romans chapter 1, what does it say about the unbeliever there? The righteousness of God is revealed against all unrighteousness of men who suppress, the Scripture says, the truth in unrighteousness. So those things which may be known of God, I'm going to have to go to Romans chapter 1 there. I should be able to quote that by now. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature are clearly seen, being understood by what was made, so they're without excuse. So what does Romans chapter 1 tell us about those that have not heard the gospel? It tells us that there was a hardness of heart that suppressed the truth that they received, right? And it was because of that suppression of the truth that there was an ignorance to God. So what we're looking at is a heart issue here, isn't it? What does that mean? When our hearts are hardened, what does it mean? It means that our affection is turned away from God, doesn't it? When we have a hardened heart, it's speaking about our affection. Heart has to do, the heart is the idea of the control center of the life. But what you're looking at when we talk about the fruit of the heart, you know, is that which comes out of our affection are the emotions that we have. Now, when we go to the first great commandment, the Scripture says that we're to love the Lord your God, first of all, with all your heart. What does that mean? Well, that's directing toward the control center, the affection that we have. God wants your affections. He wants for you to focus and to love the things about the life of God and the things that He has created and designed and given to us as His people. He wants us to have the right reality, the right perspective on life. He wants for us to understand that we're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that He put you here? He knew the exact family that you would be born to. He knew the exact time in human history that you would be born. He knew exactly what type of mental capabilities you would have, what type of physical talents you would have. He knew exactly what He put you here for. You're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Affection belongs to our God and Creator. And this brings us to some application here this morning about hardened heart. Are you able to accept the way God has made you? Are you able to look at your talents, your abilities, or lack thereof, and say, God, I am fearfully and wonderfully made in Christ Jesus. You have redeemed me. I'm rich. All spiritual blessings, Ephesians chapter 1, in heavenly places have been given to me in Christ Jesus. Your word says that all things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to us through these great and precious promises that are in God's Word. Jesus promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's not random. There's nothing that you face. There's no obstacle there that He didn't know about. You're His workmanship. And He didn't forget anything. Nothing. You're not incomplete. You are complete in Christ Jesus. He has designed you for His purposes, and He wants your affection. Will you give it to Him this morning? Can you give God your affection? It's important. It's essential to living the Christian life. It is essential that God, when we come here on Sunday morning at Grace Bible Church, it is essential that God's people give Him their affection. Don't just sit in the pew. Worship. Worship begins from the heart. Worship involves your affection. Worship is offered up to Him who to whom it rightfully belongs. It's acknowledging, God, You made me the way that You made me for the purposes that You made me for, and You didn't leave anything out. There's an element of trust there, isn't there? There's trust with your future. There's trust with your dreams. There's trust with the things that you hope for. There's trust that the loving Heavenly Father has those things in your hand. And so, are you there this morning? Is your heart with the Lord? He's saying, walk not as the Gentiles walk. Begin with the control center. For, you know, where the heart is, there we are also, right? Put where our treasures are laid up. What things we treasure in our heart, that's where we're at. Okay, right? Here's an agenda for you. Where's your thought life? Is it, you know, where are your affections? Okay, let's take an inventory this morning. Where are our affections? Do we love the things that God loves? Do we care about these missionaries? Do we see these faces on the wall and it's just a sea of humanity out there and I have no part in that? Or do we ask? Now, I know, you know, understand. I understand that Jesus, when He became a man, that He didn't do everything. He didn't heal everybody. And He didn't try to do everything. He didn't even travel outside of Israel, did He? And we're each limited. But do we have the compassion of Jesus Christ for others? Do we really look at the Great Commission? Do we really care about our missionaries? Do they really get prayed for in the body of Grace Bible Church? Do we have affection for the things that God has affection for? And I'm not pointing my finger at anyone. I think this is a wonderful church body, and you do so many things well. But I'm saying that for me and Lori, we need to be more serious about praying for our missionaries. We need to realize that right over there, that's Turkey, that represents Turkey, and there's a couple there with three kids, and their lives are in danger. In Israel, the Hindrans, we read this week in a letter from the Hindrans, that there's a tremendous obstacle toward the gospel there on the Sea of Galilee at this New Age conference. They just want to go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're trying to shut them down. The obstacles are there. It's constantly. There's a battle. But let's love the things that God loves. We worship Him that way. We declare Your greatness, God, because our hearts are toward those things. But notice the heart, where our hearts are, it affects the futility of our mind or the direction and purpose of our mind. And I think that our mind, our mental facilities need to be directed by the affection in our heart for those things that God has affection for. And everything else, it's going to be okay if we can just stay warm for the things that God would have us warm for. You know, don't lose the first love, but love the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't allow our hearts to become hardened because of the obstacles that we face and the hardness of life in a fallen world. It's going to be hard. We're going to have those challenges, but we don't have to be defeated by such things. We can walk with the Lord our God. So let's look then at verse 18 or verse 19. So we see the hardness of the heart. And we see that those things are affected, that the futility of thought, the ignorance was affected by the hardness or the suppression of reality. So what we want to do as in not walking like the Gentiles is don't suppress our affections. Don't suppress our love for God. Learn to love the flowers on the that we let die out in our garden here. Learn to love the things of God's creation and the beauty of God's creation and keep your affection warm for the Lord God. And secondly, not only is there hardness of heart, but here we see what we're looking at was the immaterial, the spiritual aspects. But you get to verse 19 and it says something different. There's a handing of oneself over, or giving yourself over. Look at verse 19. And they having become callous. Now this is kind of a summary of what we read about in verse 17 and 18. The hardness of the heart, the futility of mind, causes this callousness or hardness toward God. And because of this callousness, because out of the heart flow the issues of life, because this heart had become callous, they have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Now there are three phrases here. They were handed over or given over. They had given over themselves. What took place in the heart, the spiritual part of man, begins to flow out into the action of man, right? So what we think in our heart, where our affections are, sooner or later our words and our actions are going to tell the truth about where our heart really is, right? Isn't that true? That's true of the Christian life. If we live like the Gentiles, if we think like the Gentiles, if we pursue the values and the purposes that the Gentiles lay out there, the futility and emptiness of it that leads nowhere, then we end up acting, and the words portray what comes out of our heart. So they've been given over because of the callousness of their hearts to indecency, to what is called the sensuality. Doesn't necessarily have to do with simple sensuality. It has to do with licentiousness or freedom from the outside or being outside of moral boundaries. Often, in many cases, sexual boundaries has to do with looseness of sexual appetites and stepping outside the boundaries, licentiousness. So they're giving themselves over to indecency.